and welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined by Kunj. The Yankees have not lost since our last recording.
What are good vibes, I guess?
Yeah, they're back, I guess. I mean, it's not exactly like Cardinals Devil Magic 16 game winning streak, but you know, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Yankees had their own winning streak of 13 games, and then after that all hell just broke loose. So it was nice to just have a good fun week.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, the Yankees they made it close a few games. You know, they waited till the end of a few of them, but they still came out ahead, and it was just a good fun week. So thank you, Yankees, for making this past week not stressful.
Yeah, and like, even though, I mean, there are definitely a whole bunch of tight games in there, and especially that finale against the Rangers, where they look like they might not finish that sweep. And of course, there were some of those games against Boston, especially on Saturday, looks like they might lose that one late, and it'd be frustrating. But hey, they pulled it out.
I almost just made a pull out game strong joke.
Well,
anyway,
it's worth it, I guess. I don't know. The listener can be the judgment of that.
Yes. But yeah, no, 3-0 versus the Rangers, 3-0 versus the Red Sox in Fenway, which is like even crazier. So that was just fun to see.
Yeah, they hadn't done that since May of 2015, which is when A-Rod was still trolling around.
Right. And they might not have done that if it wasn't for one Mr. Giancarlo Stanton,
who had a hell of a series.
Yeah,
as we speak, he was named the American League Player of the Week just a couple hours ago. So, yeah, pretty well deserved, I'd say, especially for that weekend, because he homered in each of those games.
Yeah, I'd be like, any one of those games, like him coming through would have been a big deal. But to do it three games in a row was just absolutely insane, especially against, obviously, the Red Sox, who are the Yankees' biggest rivals, even though the Rays are, you know, just trying to pretend like they are, and they're just more annoying. But yeah, no, it's obviously a big deal, especially, you know, against a team that you're fighting for a playoff spot. And now, as of us recording today, Monday afternoon, the Yankees hold the top spot in the wild card race. So hopefully they can hold on to it.
Yeah, it's definitely still precarious because they're only the one game in front of Boston, two in front of Toronto. Seattle and Oakland are still sort of in the mix. That's probably long shots for them. But the fact that the Red Sox have a real cupcake schedule the rest of the week with the Nats and Orioles does not make me feel great. And then after the Yankees play this series against the Blue Jays, the Yankees have to face the Rays, and then the Blue Jays get to face the Orioles. So, you know, Red Sox and Orioles are probably in better shape in terms of opponents. The Yankees are really going to be tested this past week, but at least we know that they are still capable of beating pretty much anybody when they're rolling, and we just have to hope, fingers crossed, that they do keep rolling.
Yeah, and I really hope in somehow, some way, some shape, some form that the Yankees kind of have a playoff spot secured before they even go into the Tampa series, because I do not trust the Rays to take their foot off the brake, especially if it means keeping the Yankees off of to keep their foot off the pedal, not off the brake, but they're going to keep pushing to make sure the Yankees don't make the playoffs, because that's probably going to be their victory banner for 2021. We kept the Yankees out of the playoffs if they end up doing that. So yeah, I don't trust the Rays to not be annoying in those final three games, especially if the Yankees go into it needing to win like two or three of them. Obviously, hey, they've shown that they can do that. They've beaten the Rays, they've beaten the Red Sox, they've beaten the Blue Jays. They've done that in spurts all season. But I feel like every time we start to feel a little bit good about this team, they kind of decide to like do a complete 180 and just crash and burn. So
yeah, there's still the risk of danger very apparent with this team. So yes, it's one of the things where you look at it at the end of the day of the past week and you think, holy crap, they really did the job at Fenway. And it's a good thing they did, because this last week is not going to be easy. The Blue Jays are going to play them tough because the Blue Jays are fighting for their playoff lives. And yeah, the Rays are not going to be like, oh yeah, let's just waltz right in there, big boys. Especially because there's a very good chance that the Rays recognize that if they don't take care of business against the Yankees, then the Yankees could come right back in the division series. They win that wild card and play them themselves. And even though like the Rays are pretty confident about facing the Yankees, I don't think anyone really feels great about facing this lineup right now.
No, I mean, even when they're not rolling and they're playing like their annoying Yankees 2021 version of baseball, it's still not a team you want to face, because they've shown that any given moment, any one of these players can just take advantage and take control of the game. I mean, that's what we talked about at the beginning of the season, where like they don't need just one or two guys to be there all year. Like they have so much talent up and down this lineup that, you know, just trying to navigate through Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Joey Gallo, Anthony Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, who's like decided he's going to start hitting again. Gary Sanchez, always a threat. Like, there's so much potential up and down this lineup that, like, yeah, like you really, like, opposing teams really want to focus on making sure Judge and Stanton don't beat them, but any one of these guys can beat them.
Yeah, and I thought Friday's game against Nate Eovaldi, where finally for once he decided to look like the Nate Eovaldi that, you know, Yankees fans got used to seeing in pinstripes, and the Yankees beat up on him, and they did a really good job of just wearing him down with a lot of big early runs from the offense. And that was just, even though Stanton obviously had the big home run in there, three-run shot, there was a good top-to-bottom effort to make sure that pretty much everyone in the lineup was participating in that.
Yeah, and like that one game showed like kind of what the Yankees' problem, like we've talked about them being a little bit too passive, taking too many pitches and whatever throughout the season. That game, they went into it, they just decided we're going to attack Eovaldi today, and they did, and look what happened. If these guys are aggressive, they attack, they, you know, they're not just sitting around waiting for the perfect pitch. They just go in there and play their game. They can beat anybody. It doesn't matter who the pitcher is.
Yeah, and Eovaldi's been one of the best pitchers in the American League this season. Like, he, at the time of his start, he was leading all American League pitchers in Fangraphs WAR, even like above Cole, Robbie Ray, all those other Cy Young contenders. So yeah, like, he's had a good season, and they took it to him.
Yeah, Eovaldi probably finishes maybe in like top five of Cy Young voting for American League, I think. Like, probably not top three, but I feel pretty confident saying he'll probably finish top five. So it's not like the Nate Eovaldi that the Yankees fans are used to, who kind of frustrated us at times when he was with the Yankees. This is a different Nate Eovaldi who's been taking control and, you know, heading up that rotation with Chris Sale missing time due to injury and whatnot. It was a good plan and against a good pitcher, and it worked for them. Which is what all we've been wanting them to do is just like, put your best foot out there. If you lose games, you lose games. That's fine. But don't look so like you're just not into it.
Yeah. And it was a good week that we saw from Gleyber Torres in particular, too, who has, I think, been hitting better since he went back to just playing second base. And maybe that makes things simpler for him. He doesn't have to worry about the fielding aspect as much. Obviously, there's still important plays to be made at second. And, you know, there have been some mix-ups there too still, but for the most part he seems a lot more comfortable and locked in at the plate, and that's all that the Yankees can really hope for at this point in the season from Gleyber, just because they need to salvage something from this. And as long as he's turning it on late, then hey, they will take that.
Yeah, I mean, better late than never is definitely something that we hold true for Gleyber Torres. But yeah, I mean, I know people kept repeating this whole carrying his defense to the plate phrase with them when they were having him at shortstop, which, I mean, probably was a factor. And, like, you know, just, I guess, the taking the pressure off, let him just focus in on the plate and let him go back to what he had been doing. And we always knew, even when he was coming up through the minors or whatever, like, the defense wasn't going to be his strength. His bat was supposed to carry him and make the defense just acceptable. You live with, like, the not-so-great defense if the offense is there. The problem was the defense was atrocious and the offense wasn't there at all. So that's why, you know, the move needed to be made, and it's looking like it's paid off. Like, yeah, he hasn't been like prime Robbie Cano or whoever, another good second baseman in this past week or so, but he doesn't need to be. He just needs to be passable, which he has been, and he needs to be hitting, which he, again, has been.
And yeah, they can worry about off-season decisions later with what's going on here with because, you know, I don't think they're planning on making Gio Urshela as our new shortstop in the future. I don't think that's the real plan. I think that's just like, this is just what we're doing right now. Fingers crossed, it'll be fine. Yeah.
It's definitely not a long-term solution. It's just better than, hey, we're going to start Tyler Wade or Angel Velasquez every day. Because at the end of the day, even with Gleyber's shortcomings, you still trust him to start him over Wade or Velasquez.
Yeah.
No offense to those guys. Oh, maybe a little bit of offense to Tyler Wade because he's a dingus, but definitely no offense to Andrew Velasquez.
Yeah, and DJ LeMahieu's been making some pretty decent plays at third base too, especially during the Sunday night game. Obviously, there was also the drop pop-up, but whatever. I don't know what the hell was going on in that game, how many drop pop-ups there were.
So, like, before we go on to DJ for a second, and that was a good segue, because one thing I wanted to bring up coming back to Gleyber's defense is DJ made that – I forgot who was at bat and what inning it was, but it was definitely during the Sunday night game where DJ made that, like, phenomenal stop at third to start the double play, threw it to Gleyber, and Gleyber to Rizzo. And like just looking at Gleyber, like when he caught the ball, just transferred it and like passed it to Rizzo, it was just so smooth and seamless. Like he just wasn't thinking about it. It's just body language is so strong and confident. And that's what like we've been missing this whole year so far. So that was just nice to see, like just how effortless it was from him.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened. I think who the hell was that play? I think Schwarber was at play.
Yeah,
DJ dropped the pop-up and then freaking Gallo dropped the pop-up. I'm like, wait, you're like two of our best defenders right there.
Yeah, it's like what are we doing? And there was like your classic drop pop-up thing, which is almost something that always happens on these drop pop-ups, which is like you see them only trying to catch it with one hand. And that's just like annoying baseball stuff that you're like, come on, guys, what are you doing?
Yeah, and like at any point throughout the season, you would have felt like, okay, yep, the Red Sox went ahead because of these stupid drop pop-ups. And the Yankees are just going to concede this game now. But nope, they just came back and answered with a vengeance.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, the Red Sox returned the favor with a drop pop-up of their own. Or Bobby Dalbec couldn't corral that one pop-up from Aaron Judge. And they got a big break from Joe West messing up a call. Joe West, who's retiring, and that one beat writer was like, oh, man, one of the best to ever do it. And he's out here blowing strike three calls. It's like, what? So many bad missed strike threes in that game. Or ones that should have been called ball four. And then in this decisive play, Judge hits a foul tip that Vasquez mostly holds on to. And then like in the transfer, he drops it. And then it's called just a foul tip and that he doesn't have contact or that he doesn't have possession. So Judge gets second life and he hits a big double.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of bad things to say about Joe West, but he benefited the Yankees directly yesterday because of that. So Joe West, good umpire. I agree, beat writer.
Yeah, noble hero.
He's the Yankee of the week.
Yeah, that was a very, very fortunate scenario. And yeah, sometimes you got to get those breaks to win these tight games. And the Yankees got them right there.
Yeah, I mean, baseball, there's 162 games in a regular season. You're not going to have everything go right your way. It's just taking advantage of when things just break in your favor because, like, you know, a lot of times things are not going to go in their way, which to give the Yankees a little bit of a break, I mean, even when they were struggling, whatever, things were not necessarily going their way. But even when things were, they just weren't taking advantage. Yesterday, they took advantage of, you know, them getting a big break and look what it resulted in. Aaron Judge's big double and then Giancarlo Stanton hitting a ball that still has not landed.
Like, yeah, those, it's something when Giancarlo just gets a hold of one because both the Grand Slam on Saturday and the homer on Sunday were just absolutely destroyed and way over the Green Monster. And I do like that I had made that article about, like, you know, the Yankees' five longest homers at Fenway Park since 2015. And I'm like, oh, maybe Giancarlo Stanton can get on here. And now he's second and third on the list.
Yes. he apparently Giancarlo is an avid reader of pinstripealley.com.
Yeah, he's like, listen, Mearns, I'm going to challenge you. Maybe yeah, I'll have to do like Yankees longest home runs in Toronto.
Yes, just keep doing Yankees longest home runs on October 5th of 2021. Apparently
yeah.
They have had none. Giancarlo, do you want to break that record?
Yeah, I bet you can't do it, you weakling. Giancarlo, yeah. The weakling, smacking Gleyber Torres on the head so far that he's like almost concussed, maybe? I don't know.
I have this as part of my injury list update for the week is Gleyber had to have his neck examined because Giancarlo smacked him too hard after celebrating his own home run. It's probably nothing to worry about. It's just really funny.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's like a small chance that like that could be something, but ideally it's just like, no, that was just big man doing big man things.
Yes. But I do have one issue to take with StatCast because I am no longer a believer in StatCast. I will have you know. Because there's no way that Giancarlo's home runs only went 452 and 448. I'm pretty sure they went like 764 feet each. Yeah,
that's facts. I mean, come on.
StatCast is wrong. I use the eye test.
Yes, I measured it myself. I walked.
I got a map out. I got a ruler. I did it to scale.
I somehow figured out exactly where those home runs landed in the streets.
Yes. I'm telling you, StatCast is wrong.
Yes. Come on, you fools. You don't know anything.
I guess we should talk about the weekly. There's, I guess it's not really a COVID/IL update anymore because the COVID monster hasn't really come through the Yankees recently. Not that I'm trying to jinx you, sir.
Yeah. It's fine. Hey, I still fear you thing.
Yes, I definitely still fear you. I'm not even kidding. But no, the Yankees should be getting even more reinforcements. I mean, we talked about Luis Severino coming back last week. I think he was activated when we recorded, but he hadn't pitched yet. But since we recorded, Domingo German was activated, although he on Wednesday, I think, of last week. But he still hasn't appeared in a game. But the Yankees did activate Jameson Taillon today to start the Tuesday game. So the day this podcast will go up, he'll return to the rotation. And Jonathan Loaisiga should hopefully be back within the next day or two. I think they were also expecting him back at some point in the Toronto series. So that's good.
Yeah, the bullpen is very slowly piecing itself back together, knock on wood, you know? Like, it's in a good enough shape where the guy that they demoted to activate Taillon was Albert Abreu, who on the season has been pretty good for the Yankees. Obviously, his last time out, he had a bad outing against Cleveland, but he hasn't really had to be called upon since then because the bullpen has just added so much more depth with the additions of Michael King and Luis Severino in these multi-inning roles. And then you combine that with what Clay Holmes is able to do. Joely Rodriguez obviously didn't do well on Sunday, but he's been pretty good since they got him from Texas. Wandy Peralta is still there. Chad Green has come back a little bit. Chapman has also come back some too. So they are finally appearing to piece it together, and it looks like they're going to have even a little bit more support too, especially if Loaisiga can go back and be anything like he was before the injury.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, you know, Severino and King are probably the two biggest factors here because Clay Holmes and Joely Rodriguez and Wandy Peralta, they've been around for a little while, but Michael King got hurt early on in the year, and Severino has just been absent for the last couple of years. But getting them back, and obviously with Severino, it's a small sample size in just two games, but he's looked really good. And now that's like I talked about it just being a big enough deal for him to even be able to pitch, but for him to look as good as he's looked, 4 innings of work, he's got 6 strikeouts or something like that. It's all a numbers guy.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's good news. That's all you need to hear. And considering how much the rotation, aside from Cole, pretty much does not really go deep into games, you need these multi-inning guys. And the fact that they have a few of them at this point, that is really going to help them out as they, you know, piece together these games toward the end of it. Because we don't know how long Taillon's going to be able to go in his first start off the IL. Kluber is still not a guy who goes super deep either. Montgomery is a guy who's good, but also not someone who lasts super long. Same with Nestor. So this is a rotation that needs that sort of support, and the bullpen appears to be ready to provide it. And the fact that they've finally been able to get some rest days in there too, just like normal off days after that 20 games and 20 days stretch, I'm sure they've really appreciated that too. And you look at the game logs for how the bullpen has lined up in the past week, and it's much more reasonable rest schedules, and they've just looked a lot more fresh, more effective, and everything that, you know, Aaron Boone would want to see.
Yeah, and I think the biggest example of that is Chad Green. I mean, in the past week, he pitched 5.1 innings, allowed 0 runs, when that's coming off of 4 consecutive outings with at least allowing 1 run in each of those. So it was just nice to see him kind of, you know, maybe he's not fully back to vintage Chad Green that you feel 100% confident in, but he's definitely trending in the right direction, which is what you need. And even Chapman, you know, yeah, he allowed that home run to Dalbec, I think it was, on Saturday. But, you know, he still has looked overall better as of late than he had been, especially when he was extremely bad.
Yeah, and that was even in a scenario where, obviously, like, no one ever really wants to see a home run. But, you know, the Yankees were up by 3. You'd rather see Chapman, you know, just challenge the hitters and not waste some time dawdling around the edges of the strike zone when he doesn't really have to. Maybe occasionally a guy like Dalbec will square one up and take him out. But if he's not walking the other guys and he's still holding that 3-run lead, whatever. I mean, fine.
Yeah. And like in the beginning of the year, you'd probably be like, what the hell? How do you give up a home run to Bobby Dalbec? But like since like I think July or August, Bobby Dalbec's been actually hitting pretty well. So
yeah, that's one thing I had to discover during the course of that series. It's like, oh, I guess Bobby Dalbec's like good or something.
Yeah.
I just had in my brain, he's Dobby Dalbec. So, you know.
Yes. I've actually made that same joke to myself yesterday and nobody laughed, even though I just said it to myself. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I figured, you know, that's the whole reason that they were getting Kyle Schwarber and to just put somebody at first base. They didn't even care Kyle Schwarber never played first because they just needed something there because Bobby Dalbec had been so bad for them in the first half. But I guess, you know, some competition woke something up in him, but he's been hitting well, but I don't care enough about the Red Sox to continue talking about him much longer.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's the Bobby Dalbec update.
Yeah. I know we were all, you know, counting on that, but
yes.
Yeah. And then I guess we should talk about Tyone a little bit too. I think he'll be okay in his first start. It's at least against a team that he pitched well against last time out. He had been going through a bit of a tough stretch after the very good midseason run, but no, as long as they get like five good innings, honestly, even like four and change, I think they'll take that just to see something positive from him.
Absolutely. And like, I think a lot of what we saw in his last few outings after his phenomenal July was that he started off strong in a lot of these games, but then just kind of started to wear out or tire out. So now we talked about the bullpen being a place of strength where you have these multi-inning guys, so you don't necessarily need to,
you don't need to push him. Yeah.
And on top of that, not that, you know, any IL stint is a good thing, but you know, his arm probably gets a little bit of break that it probably wouldn't if he didn't get hurt. And so, you know, he's able to rest that a little bit, and maybe hopefully that gives him a little bit of more energy than he would have. So I do feel a little bit more confident in Tyone coming back. Like, not that I don't think he's going to pitch like he did in July, but it's fine. He doesn't necessarily need to. I mean, if he wants to, by all means, go for it. But, you know, if you just, like you said, four and change, five innings of, like, you know, keeping the Yankees in the game, couple runs, they'll take it. I'll take it. Everyone will take it.
Yeah, bingo. So don't have to go too deep on that one. And as long as he's, you know, pitching fine, cool. I guess we should talk briefly. Judge dislocated his pinky, but popped it back in on that weird slide. I don't know what is going on with that, but that was gross to read about.
Yeah. In my notes, I wrote that they dislocated it and then relocated it, which is not the right term, but it's amusing to me. So that's my term for it now. But yeah.
That's cringe science.
Yes, couldn't science. Trust me, I am not a doctor. But I did like his quote afterwards, like, I don't really need the pinky to hit, so I'll be good. Which, like, I don't know that I trust your diagnosis, Aaron Judge, but hey, like,
okay, man. Fine, go for it. Like, pinkies, who needs them? I could hit with nine fingers or eight, either pinky.
I mean, I'm guessing, like, he's so massive and that his hands are so massive that it's like he probably has enough to, like, compensate for losing a pinky each and still be able to have this hand of a normal person.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't science. It makes sense in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm only secretly, like, 25% terrified.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess we always have to have some semblance of terror, like, locked in us just, you know, as a protective jacket, you know. Just to acknowledge that it's possible that everything could go to hell.
Yeah. Although knowing how Aaron Judge has responded every time we've, like, mentioned him on the podcast or, like, somewhat criticized him, I can just see, like, we'll wake up tomorrow, he'll chop his own pinky off. Like, how do you feel about this shot? And then just go on to hit, like, 14 home runs in the next 3 days.
Yeah. You know, very normal stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I guess the last injury update was, I guess, DJ LeMay, he was dealing with, like, a hip/groin thing. So he had to miss Saturday's game, but he was able to come back Sunday. He actually had a good game on Sunday, so that was good. And I think, you know, just they're going to probably address it in the offseason where they said that he might need surgery, but he's just like, oh, we'll take a look at it then and figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like just classic baseball player answer. Like, we're all gritting through things down the stretch here. It was also just funny. Like, he obviously missed the game on Saturday, and then Rougned Odor emerged from, like, the crypts to, like, oh, I'm here, remember me? And then just didn't do anything.
Yeah, like, I fully believe that they heard the podcast where I mentioned last week, like, is he still on this team? Does he still play? Or does he just randomly pop out of the dugout every time there's a home run? Because it's the only time that confirms that he still exists within this Yankees traveling party.
Yeah, like, you'll see him in roster. Like, basically the extent that I've seen him this month is just in, like, the wire photos of, like, him jumping out, like, being the first guy out of the dugout to be like, yeah, which, okay. No.
Yeah, 100%. Like, the only reason his existence is confirmed is because he's literally always the first one out of the dugout every time a Yankee hits a home run.
Yeah.
And then you go to, and then the replay, or when they play the home run, they'll go to the dugout for the reaction shot. You just see Rugi jumping out, and then everyone else are celebrating or whatever. Although, I think on Sunday or Saturday, I forget if it was the Grand Slam on Saturday or Sunday's home run for Giancarlo, Luis Severino actually beat Rugi out of the dugout. So, maybe he has a challenger.
Yeah, Rugi's falling down on the job. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll take a short ad break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So I think you have another B-War update for us, our second to last one of the season, because next time we pod, the season will be over.
Yeah, it's definitely not as exciting as like the halfway through the season BWAR updates where it was just like, what the hell's happening here? But there has been some movement on it, which I haven't been able to say the last couple of weeks. So Giancarlo Stanton has officially displaced Loaisiga and is now fourth on the team in BWAR behind Garrett Cole, Aaron Judge, and Jordan Montgomery. So, but it was nice to see him just kind of like hovering around 11, 12 for most of the season. And then ever since like they started letting him play the outfield and he's just been on his Giancarlo tear, just creeping his way up, and to, you know, be at four with 3.1 BWAR, it's pretty solid.
Yeah, he is doing some work to get on there.
Yeah. And then my other update though is not as exciting, where Corey Kluber showed his face again, which can't really be a good thing because he had one good start and then he kind of went back to meh in his last start. So I'm not really sure what he did to earn his spot at number 12, but hey, he's there. At least
participant.
Participant award. Yes, exactly.
I think probably what's happened more than anything else is that Gary's had a rough couple games. So yeah.
And I think they're all just hovering around like tiebreaker scenarios.
Yeah, within like a couple point ones of each other or whatever.
Yeah. But it's nice to see stay-at-home dad Lucas Litke is holding firm to the number 11 spot. I will be very excited to see him end the season in the top 12 just because, like, I did not expect him to stay on this roster.
Yeah, and he's just been there the entire time. Yep. One of the low-key weirdest things about the entire team, and what's funny is that I think Litke was, like, one of the only guys that did not mention it in my bullpen wrap-up thing, but he's, again, just been doing his thing all year long.
Exactly. He's just been there, you know, staying at home, being a dad, and, you know, pitching really well for the Yankees.
Yeah, he has pitched the third most games of any Yankee. Green, and Chapman, and then Litke.
Like, we both definitely expected him to be a fun storyline for, like, 2 weeks, maybe a month, and then just to be like, all right, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
But nope, he stuck around. So kudos to him, honestly. He might be my Yankee of the year just for that.
Yeah. Hey, I will welcome any reliever who is walking under two batters per nine innings because he has a 1.9 walk per nine. And I love relievers who do not waste time with that shit because it drives me crazy. Exactly. This is why Mariano Rivera was always the best because he just did not really bother with that.
No, he was just there. He threw one pitch. I was like, all right, I'm just going to keep throwing this. Just do what you can.
Yeah, and I'm just going to locate this with razor precision every single time. Maybe there will be some weird blue pits, but whatever. I'm not going to walk anyone.
Yeah.
In conclusion, Mariano Rivera was a good pitcher.
He was good, yes. Confirmed. You heard it here through Kunjin Mern science.
Boom. All right. So should we move on to the end of our segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, the Yankee and Mitre of the Week. Who do you have for Yankee of the Week?
So my Yankee of the Week is not going to be the obvious candidate. Like I told you, I'm going to leave that for you. But kind. I actually have a two-way tie. One you know about, one you don't. So the one is going to be Luis Severino in a repeat performance, just because, again, I said him just even coming back and pitching would have been enough just to, you know, just for his sake. But him coming out, obviously, again, the small sample size is noted. It's just been two games. But in both those games, he's looked really good. He hasn't allowed a run. He struck out six batters in four innings. It's a lot better than I expected. I expected some, like, early rust or whatever. And, you know, he hasn't been perfect throughout those innings by any means. But he's looked very good. And I've just been very happy and impressed with what I've seen.
Yeah, and you can see just how much everyone on the team loves that he's back and participating and doing stuff. And he can just pump up the crowd in a way that I feel like not a lot of other Yankee pitchers can, just because there is such a long history with him and this team and this fan base there. And, you know, even now after just two games, we don't know how much we're going to see of Severino making a huge impact in 2021, but just having him back in the mix and involved is great. And his stuff looks very crisp.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was just cool to see when, like, you know, he came out to the mound in his first game back, like, just the whole stadium was on their feet. They were applauding, roaring. It was just cool to see. So Luis Severino, repeat Yankee of the Week for me. Yeah. And my other Yankee of the Week, while I've previously given this award to myself in the past twice, you have not given yourself this award. And so I think it's finally time that you get this award.
Oh, wonderful.
And I'm going to give it to you. Mainly because you decided to challenge Giancarlo Stanton, and he took you up on that. So I think you are personally responsible for his monster home runs, and I'm going to give you all the credit for it. So that's congratulations, true. Andrew Mearns.
Thank you very much. Yes, I know it was all I could do to, you know, encourage Giancarlo to hit some large dingers, but
yes.
Hey, I can only speak them into existence. He has to, you know, swing the bat, and oh my, does he swing the bat?
Yes, exactly.
Like no one, yeah. I know we'd say this over and over again, and I should just say Yankee of the Week for me is Giancarlo Stanton, because no shit.
Yeah, exactly. But
the way he swings the bat on some of these home runs is just like the announcers instantly know, like no one else in baseball really, because it just is absolutely demolished. And granted, those are some pretty fat pitches that he destroyed on Saturday and Sunday, like right in the heart of the plate. But man, those were jackknifed over the wall.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about Saturday's Grand Slam was they asked him after the game, like, oh, what were you thinking when the Red Sox brought a lefty in to face Rizzo? And his response was just, you better get him out.
Yep.
You better get Rizzo out because I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
You love to see that. And Giancarlo Stanton's like been one of my favorite players in baseball, but even before he was a Yankee, and like, you know, seeing him in pinstripes was like literally a dream come true for a lot of us that have been on the staff for a while, like, you know, some former PSA staffers and all that. And just seeing, you know, what he can do, what he's done. And like, he's had such a good season, and it's somehow gotten underrated, if at all possible, which it has. So it was just good to see him, especially him coming up in the big moments and the quote unquote clutch time, and, you know, doing what he did to help the Yankees get back into playoff spot, to take the top spot. Yeah, he's very well deserving of a Yankee of the Week.
Good lad. Also, good lad to former Yankee Adam Ottavino for laying that one slider in there that just was on a tee.
once a Yankee, always a Yankee, I guess.
Yeah. Hey. Speaking of former Yankees, shouts to Michael Pineda for helping the Twins beat the Blue Jays in one of those games over the weekend. And actually, they beat them twice, which is more than I expected, and will help the Yankees during this last week as they try to fend the Blue Jays off. But, you know, honorary Yankee of the Week to our pals, the Minnesota Twins, forever and always.
Yes. You know, before we go into the meat of the week, one real quick thing. Are you as shocked as I am that Michael Pineda's still pitching? I feel like I expected him to, like, not last as long as he did. So just kudos to him. I mean, he hasn't really lived up to like the potential everyone saw in him. And like, you know, we saw like glimpses of in random games, especially that one, was it the Mother's Day game?
I think in 2016. Yeah.
Like he hasn't lived up to that, but you know, he's been like a solid or whatever presence in the Twins lineup. So kudos to him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if Nova could forge out like some roles in random spots, I mean, not anymore. I think Nova's done, but Pineda, you know, he's made 20 starts for the Twins, 3.73 ERA, 1.14 ERA plus. It's not spectacular, but hey, that's solid.
Quite literally above average.
Yeah, he's hanging in there. So, you know, I guess congrats to Big Mike. I still do not want you on my team ever again.
100% agreed.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like so scared that they're going to like trade for him at the deadline. But now we got the artistic stylings of Andrew Heaney instead. Now he's buried in that bullpen somewhere too. But they're just like, we don't like to speak of him.
Hopefully, he's the corresponding roster move for Jonathan Loaisiga when he comes back. But
yeah, I don't really know like who else it would be at this point, unless you're demoting some random guy that I'm not thinking of. But like Andrew Heaney's not really doing anything here, so.
Yankees are going to demote or cut Luis Lickey now.
Yeah.
They're not going to.
Yeah, like, get out of here, stay at home, Dad.
Yes. Go stay at home, Dad.
Yeah, note to the Yankees, do not demote Lucas Lickey.
No. Anyway, shall we move on to the Mitres?
Yes. Who is your Mitre of the Week?
So, the Yankees just swept Boston and Fenway in a game, in a series they absolutely needed to win the series. There's no Mitres of the Week for me. The good vibes edition.
Kind of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure I could find somebody, but I didn't care enough to go and find somebody. So, Lucas Lickey.
Wow. Targeting your man.
So, I'm just thinking about Lucas Lickey all the time. So, Yankees, enjoy this week off from my yelling. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, I won't be as kind as you. I'm going to – the one guy I am going to single out, I'm going to single out Corey Kluber, just because he did not pitch well against literally the 2021 Rangers. Like, you can't be giving up 8 hits and 3 runs in under 5 innings to that team.
Yeah.
Like, that made – that caused some doubt as to whether the Yankees could actually finish off that sweep of the Rangers, which would have been, you know, fitting in the theme of, like, not finishing sweeps for this team, letting these bad teams beat them and potentially ruin some good vibes ahead of the weekend series at Fenway. But fortunately, the offense picked him up and made a comeback. So yeah, good on you. But Corey Kluber, do better, especially since he has to face the Blue Jays this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had two candidates in mind for Meteor of the Week. One was Kluber. The other one was Tyler Wade, because he's a dinkus. Yeah. Just because of Sunday. You know, him trying to steal. And I didn't even mind him running. I didn't mind him trying to steal. That's fine. Why are you not sliding? That's literally my only issue.
That was quite the athletic move.
I don't know what he did there. It just looked like Tyler Wade failed to load. Like it was like running like freaking DSL internet, and it's like, and then just collapse on the floor. And then him attempting to steal again later on in the game, and then also getting thrown out. That was just actually funny to me. But the first one was like, bro, what are you doing? So he would have been my Mitre of the Week. And Kluber was another honoree, nominee, if it wasn't for them coming back to win and just giving me all the good vibes for right now.
Yes. All right. Cool. So should we wrap up there?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, you can follow us on Twitter at PittsburghPally. Follow me on Twitter at MearnsPSA. Where can people follow you this week?
This week, you can follow me at I'm Not an HR Hitter. You know, any direct messages that need to come to me, you can find me through there.
Perfect. Yeah, just yell at Greg about Kunj, and then, that's it.
I can't believe you said this on the podcast. Send this to Kunj, please.
Yes.
Greg's going to DM me on our Slack, like, I just got this message for you.
What does this guy want? It's like, I don't know, man. I'm just here to participate.
Yes.
All right. Well, this will be our final podcast of the Yankees actually still being active in the regular season. So hopefully we'll be able to come back to you with some postseason edition. So we've got, as we said, a big week ahead against the Blue Jays and Rays. So here's hoping the Yankees take care of business, and we'll see you in the postseason.
Yep, let's do it. Hopefully.
Yep. See you later.